You are watching and listening to Chris and Lester Till I Die TV on YouTube and your favorite podcasts.
Hello, Matt Elliott here.
Hi, Alan Smith here.
Hey guys, Ian Hume here.
Hi everybody, Jerry Taggart here.
Be sure to watch
Chris and Leicester Till I Die TV
for all the latest Leicester City news and information.
You can also subscribe on YouTube and various social media channels
for the latest updates and news on Leicester City football.
Come on, you foxes!
Listen on your favourite podcast platform
or ask your smart speaker to play the podcast Leicester Till I Die.
Right, Chris.
All right there. How are you doing? All right at the back? Got over it yet? It's a bit worrying when your manager finds out we're in a European competition and he knows nothing about it. I think probably saying that he didn't know anything about it might have been a good idea had we not been now falling into it. It just can't seem to get it right. Dare I say, and I probably can't, but I'm going to anyway, must-win game this weekend?
Listen on your favourite podcast platform
or ask your smart speaker to play the podcast Leicester Till I Die.
Subscribe, like, follow and join in now.
So, how are we all feeling? I'm looking at a couple of comments that have already come in and I'm guessing you're not. JB, good evening, sir. How the devil are you? If we lose this game, he has to go. Newcastle are dreadful. Facebook user, stick your name at the end so we know who you are, sir. Welcome along. They are bound to score at least two goals. It was said by a commentator the other day that how confident must the Leicester players feel when they know going into any game that to stand a chance of winning, they're going to have to score at least two goals. That is it. It is never a truer word been said. Do you agree with that, Brad?
Sorry about that, mate. Not being able to defend from a corner is embarrassing. It's getting annoying to kind of see. It's kind of like, it's like a horror show that you found, or a comedy show that you found funny at first because it happened and there was a few comical moments, and then your mates make you watch it again and again and again, and you're so used to it, you're like, this isn't funny anymore. It's just embarrassing to watch. And I don't know, maybe the under-60s coach could teach them how to defend corners, because I'm sure it's not the same issue we have lower down in our divisions. Issue that we're having elsewhere. So I don't understand why it's an issue with the first team. And is it Carlo? Is it Brendan? Well,
yeah, I don't know if this still goes on or not.
We'll probably never find out if one of them loses the job, because the only one that's probably going to lose their job out of the two of them will be Brendan, and Carlo will probably walk with him.
Yeah. You know, when you were at school, though, Brad, certainly when I was at school, I'm going back further than you, obviously, the PE teacher was also the football coach, the cricket coach, the rugby coach, and also the geography teacher. For some reason, it was always geography. Maybe we could get a geography teacher in that could do a better job on getting our defenders to defend than the coaches that we've got in at the moment.
Well, yeah, maybe. I mean, don't get me wrong. Last night, I'll actually say that Leicester defended set pieces well. I mean, I think we should have got a bonus goal from actually not conceding from a corner, but that's not how the European competition works. We all know that, because 97th minute, we nearly had a skin saved, and good old League of Warsaw decided to put penalty nice and easy for the goalkeeper to save. But I don't know. Maybe it's something else. Maybe we need to Ralph it up a bit. I don't know. Maybe we need to make an appointment elsewhere. If it's not the manager and we're not blaming somebody else, maybe we need to Ralph Regnick the situation. Yeah. Maybe we need to get someone in that's going to look at it completely different and go, I don't know, maybe someone who's got a tactic board and pens and a marker should come into the job and show them what to do. I don't know, mate. Any experts out there, let us know.
I tell you what, mate, I mean, listening to your tactical analysis, I think they could do with you. 2 o'clock on Sunday. It's on Sky Sports, if you have that platform. Match day live on lcfc.com/radio. And both BBC's radios, Leicester's and Radio 5 as well. And other areas of being able to watch it are also available. Our record against Newcastle, we played them 28 times in the Prem. We've won 11. They've won 12. 5 at home, 7 away. I've just was doing, Brad, a Newcastle show before I came live on here, and I'm not confident. And there's a lot of Newcastle fans saying, I've never looked forward to a game as much as I'm looking forward to this one.
No, I'm not confident either, mate, and I can't blame any Leicester fans that are sat there not confident about this game. And you know what? Fair play to those that are sat there still fairly confident of the game, because you know, I've always said that, you know, like anything in life, every good thing comes to an end and every bad thing comes to an end. But it's like joining a very dodgy gang, isn't it? It's easy to get into, but it's hard to get out of. And that's what a bad run's like for clubs. But, you know, bad runs always seem to last longer and have a lasting effect than a good run does. Even though sometimes you'll look at a good run and realise it stretched over like 14, 15 games and the bad one was only 6 or 7. It just feels so bad because it's negative towards your club. But and this is also the game where, in fairness to Newcastle, yes, they did pick up the first 3 points, but it wasn't the most glamorous. I still stand by my statement with Newcastle polished a turd, it's still a turd. With the quality of players they've got there, minus a few names. Mm. But this will be an interesting game. I don't think Eddie Howe has had the desired effect he was hoping to yet. He may have to bring in his own £40 million Dominic Solanke's to get that effect at Newcastle. We will see. But this is going to be an interesting game. And it's probably the first time we've played a Newcastle side that I'm sat here going, I don't think we'll get the 3 points. You know, even last year, and they beat us 4-2 last year, I went into that game expecting Leicester to come out with something positive, and I'm just in that position of mind with Leicester that I just can't see it.
I mean, you know, they beat us 4-2 on a season where we were reasonably on a high, although we were kind of, you know, coming towards our usual end of season tail off. They were sort of looking at relegation. Again, I can remember none of their fans thinking they would get anything from the game, and they were 4-0 up. Now, let's just list 4-0 up. And I am so fearful. And that was what it was like last season with a Muppet, as they would say, in Steve Bruce as a manager. Eddie Howe's got some tactical nous about him. He did us a couple of times when he was at Bournemouth, so he knows what he's doing. I am really, really scared. The Newcastle fan, he said to me, like, you know, you know, how do you think Leicester will line up? And I said, it doesn't really matter. I said, get a corner after 2 minutes and you'll be a goal up. Just get your strikers to mark our defenders and we'll give you the ball in our area and you can score.
Well, at the moment, mate, all you need to do is an opposition ball. It is whack the ball along into our box, hope our defence don't clear it, have a shot, and if it's in the first 5 minutes, it's got a good chance of going in regardless of who's at the back and regardless of who's in goal. But, you know, stranger things will happen, haven't they? Like you just said, we were reasonably flying there, you know, at that point when before we played Newcastle. We were actually looking like the team that had learnt their lesson from the year before, because even though we'd had a few draws or defeats, we were then bounced back with a few wins. But, you know, this could also, you know, just as I mentioned there, this could easily be a game where we're all sat there, either at home or at the ground or wherever we are around the world watching it, going, this is going to be a long afternoon. And then, lo and behold, Leicester probably score from a corner in the first 3 minutes and Leicester will win the game 4-0. This is Leicester and that's how we do things. It would just be typical that we do it in such a weird style, to be honest with you.
Totally, totally. Apparently, we're again likely to be without many of our first team squad, but then, you know, you could argue that they haven't been turning up for 15 games this season, so we probably won't miss them. Because of COVID or other illnesses. I mean, that's Iheanacho and Luckman. Well, they're off, so presumably they missed the game the other night. They're probably pleased the other night. Youri Tielemans and Ryan Bertrand could feature after both return without injury from the game on Thursday. To me, I've got to be honest with you, I wouldn't start either of them.
I understand that, but both have been out for long periods in today's football standards, the way the game's played and the amount of games that are played. Big up, Static.
Hi, Static.
It's one of them for me where, look, Bertrand didn't do a lot wrong last night. I actually played a stable game. Considering we conceded 3 goals, I actually think he had a steady game. I don't think he was any dissimilar to Luke Thomas, who's been playing there recently, evening, Dave. And I don't, you know, Tielemans has just come back from an injury. Maybe he did a few things just trying to kick start his return with a bang. I mean, he took some silly shots that are fully fit up to standard, Youri. I wouldn't mind hitting them, but you could tell he'd only had maybe a training session or two before that game. He was very rusted. I personally wouldn't mind if it was Bertrand picked on Sunday. I mean, Thomas was on the bench, so it wasn't like it was COVID or the illness that was keeping him out. Bertrand was picked tactically against Napoli. And Tielemans is a player that we sit here with a Tielemans or a Maddison or maybe even a Barnes and think, oh, well, they're a bit off the boil, maybe we should drop them. But they're also one that you struggle to look at that 11 and go, well, actually, we can't afford to leave him out in a way. So I'm not opposed to either of them playing, actually, at the weekend.
JB, he says, is Rodgers out Thursday? Was it for me? Well, tomorrow, and I was talking about Brad, it will probably be about 5 o'clock tomorrow, Brad, if that's okay. We are going to be doing an in-out, shake it all about show.
Yes.
Yes, a Rodgers in and a Rodgers out person on. Brad's the in. We've got Ant coming on as the out, and I'll be shaking it about in the middle, which is a bit of a scary thought at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So come on and let us know your thoughts on Rodgers and whether it is a must-win game for him on Sunday. Hi to Sean, hi to David and Terry, hi to Ankit, hello there, how the devil are you, sir? David, see, I just think that for me, as David said, they wouldn't start Bertrand. I know he was just coming back from injury, and as was Tielemans, and you've got to accept that they're not fully fit or fully up to match fitness, shall we say. But that's so unlike Brendan, because normally he'd have hauled them off after 45 minutes. I mean, Bertrand was it their second goal? He played everybody on side by a mile and a half. You know, he just wasn't concentrating.
Yeah.
And if that was Luke Thomas, he would be absolutely roasted for that. And Ryan Bertrand is experienced, as everybody keeps saying, he's won the Champions League and what have you. He should be looking across that line with his experience saying, oh, shit, I need to move up here.
Yeah, but the problem is, and it's easy to look at it from that perspective, but when you look at it maybe throughout the things, and as you know, the whole reason that I got involved in got really interested in trying to notice things in Leicester's design and their tactics, and it's something I really touched up upon in the segment last night, was the way Leicester are defending and trying to press when they're defending, they're leaving that side open. So they're always going to be playing somebody on side. So unfortunately, just because a team attacks down that right side more than they do the left, it's always going to be noticed when a Bertrand or a Thomas makes a mistake or gets caught out. They're not doing it because of their inexperience or their lack of ability to play at this level anymore, like people have suggested about Bertrand. It's their instructions. We're doing a three-man press in a back line of four, so we have to have a defender, and it is, you know, the resulting left or it is the resulting wing back, depending on which side they're pressing on, that's free, that has to hover between the middle and the width, which is why last night on several occasions Napoli broke down one side and had the space to run into, because that person on that side of the field was then going, okay, they've played the ball this way, I will track back and cover on there. It's easy just to blame it when you're only seeing it, but you've got to remember, where's he getting these instructions from? He's not walked out onto that pitch and just decided he's not going to mark his player. He's been told, if them three are over there, you fit here. Not here, where you should be. I want you here so you can cover both bases. Wingbacks, they're not actually designed for that. They're not designed to cover all bases. They're designed to track back, allow your team to get back defensively and push forward and help create chances.
Yeah,
I don't actually blame Bertrand for the second goal. I blame, funny enough, I blame Brendan, despite the fact that I'll be defending him.
Well, Jamie says there, Brad, why are you Rogers in? Well, we'll ask him tomorrow night. Join us at 5 o'clock tomorrow.
I'll tell you tomorrow, mate.
No. We've both got a show to do after this. We haven't got enough time for that. Welcome to Luca, the Arsenal fan. He did say, how is the Conference League, Chris?
All I will say is, nice, Luca.
Yeah, you'll never know because you're not in Europe this season. So, you know, how's not been in Europe for a season? And how's the process going, Luca? Is it working well, the process? he's a good lad, Luca. He can take it on the chin. So we have got, Newcastle. This is how it's looking form-wise. You wouldn't know we were halfway up the table. That, you know, we've got one win against Watford. We've got a couple of draws. I mean, if the others were decent, you would kind of say, okay, Chelsea this season might be a bit of a given, you know. But Newcastle there, lost to Arsenal. Bloody hell, you know, I mean, that takes some doing, doesn't it? But they drew with Brentford, drew with Brighton, and could only draw with Norwich, and then managed to just get past Burnley, thanks to a bit of a ping-pong in their box. So it I have a feeling this could be a really, really scrappy game, Brad.
It's either going to be one of them where you're watching and it's goals galore, or it's going to be what me and you like to coin as the classic last on the day, which is it'll be last on match of the day too. It's either going to be that, or we're going to faint because Leicester don't concede, and we're then going to wake up and realise we didn't concede because it was that boring of a game because neither side wants to lose it. It's going to be an interesting one. And I, in a way, I hope it's got loads of goals. And in a way, I hope it's got the we don't concede part of the second part in it. That would be a nice little boost going into the Christmas period.
Well, we need a boost. But like we've said before, I mean, we've got a tough Christmas coming up. But it would be Leicester to lose against Newcastle, probably against Everton, and then go ahead and beat Tottenham, Manchester City and Liverpool twice.
Yeah, it would be typical Leicester. I mean, I've always infamously stated, I think it's quite a known tag that Leicester develops over the years, is the only thing that Leicester are consistent at doing is being inconsistent.
Yeah.
But I would not be surprised And I already am a little bit surprised with the way the media are, that we haven't already seen the cliché-ic three games to save his job. Brendan warned that results against Everton, Spurs and Newcastle are vital. You know, something like that. You know, because the media always looks at that when a manager's not performing well in the league. They've done it a few times with Ollie. You know, 15th time was a charm with them reporting him going. So, it is one of them where I totally agree. We could lose to Newcastle, go and beat Everton, go and beat Spurs, and go on, and then suddenly we don't lose in the next five games. But I don't think you can afford to do that, because I think if you lose to Newcastle, you're going to see them reports. You're going to get told that Everton, Tottenham, Man City, or Liverpool, whichever way around it is, we play them first. I think it's Liverpool first out of the times we play them. That he'll be told that's, you know, the papers will start reporting that's the games he's got to get results from and save his job. So let's just hope we don't get to that point with the press, and we maybe when we're not looking like winning, go out and do exactly that.
Well, fingers crossed. Brookline, good evening, sir. How the devil are you? Welcome along. It's been a while not seeing you, but you're welcome back. A very good point there. Do most Newcastle fans know they're probably going to be replaced next year? Will they be motivated to win?
See, I don't think they will be replaced next year. Their season's gone that badly that even if they go on a run, and I don't see it anytime soon, but even if they somehow magically turn it around after a January transfer window, they'll probably only end up finishing about 14th anyway. Let's face it. They're not going to suddenly become a top eight side after the January transfer window.
No.
A lot of these players, I can see where Brookline's coming from by saying that they're going to be looking over the shoulder, aren't they? Yeah. But there's also some players that even if they're looking over the shoulder, they'll go, oh, all right, maybe Newcastle are going to spend 60 million on replacing me or competition for me, but I feel I'm good enough to still play in the Premier League. So, you know, maybe a Watford need a player like me. Maybe an Aston Villa are looking to invest. Maybe Everton want a player like me. If I can still put in a performance, even if my team's not winning and I look good out of it, you know, that's when you find that people start putting eyes in the word teams conveniently. But that's what these players will do to look after their own careers. I've never seen a player, maybe apart from Kane, who can down tools in a team where he's not really that brilliant anyway, and then expect to still be earning a high wage next season. It's not going to do him any good or his career. So there's probably some players out there that'll be hoping that the Newcastle transformation maybe takes a few years, so they're in that early development more than an instant impact. Yeah. Unless Mbappe fancies turn up on Friday night to open against Millwall. And I don't know, maybe Mbappe has always dreamed about playing Millwall on a Friday night in a Championship opener. I don't know.
You know, who knows? It might be his secret. I mean, let's be honest with you, it was that guy that his dream it was to play in Saudi Arabia. You know, I mean, you never know. David says here, the problem is that we have no cohesion up front. Vardy's on his own, Barnes pedestrian on left, Luckman enough said about him on the right, and Madders in the middle. We are so thin up top. 3-5-2 for me. What formation would you go for, Brad?
I would, and any FIFA fans will know this one when I say it, I'd go for the 4-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2, which is
many players, we'd probably still concede a goal.
Well, probably. No, it's the 4-2-2-2 essentially, and essentially it is the 4-3-3 or a very narrow 4-4-2. But
yeah,
last night really did it for me, because I didn't bring this point up on the night, but I noticed that Harvey Barnes gets a very good 45 minutes and then struggles to do anything in the second half. He still makes chances, but he struggles being pinned out on that left-hand side. And when I noticed that Maddison was on the right because Lukman couldn't travel, illness or for whatever reason, I assumed that he was actually using that tactic, because Maddison is no good to us as a right winger. We've discussed this whole right winger issue many a times over the last three seasons, but I essentially thought that we was going to go with two central midfielders, have Barnes as a what you'd call a left centre attacking midfielder, and Maddison playing a right centre attacking midfielder. And then I was expecting maybe Vardy and somebody to be the front pair. And I would have liked to have seen that. And I'd like to see it going forward because, again, if you check out the last few videos, you'll notice what I'm talking about here. But it would help us be able to pass the ball more than 5 yards. It'd help us be able to cover that 10-yard gap where there's nobody between an opposition player and our player. I'd like to be able to fill that pitch, even if it does make us a bit narrow, because you could give Barnes that free roaming role. So if he feels it's better to go outside, he can go outside. If he feels it's better to stay tucked in, he can stay tucked in. It makes him a little bit less predictable or easier to mark. So yeah, the 4-2-2 for me would work.
I went 4-4-2 because I just think we, you know, as David said there, Vardy is so isolated on his own. And I know you mentioned when we were chatting before the show that we can't withstand, because of the way we're playing this season, we can't afford to have a season where Vardy goes on a run and doesn't score regularly. But surely if he's not getting the service and he's maybe having to come back to try and get the ball, we're not using him to his best. You know, surely he needs a partner up there.
Oh, I mean, he had a partner up there and he scored like 19 goals in all competitions of the season, and then we reverted back to one up front. But this is what I mean. This is why I don't understand. If he, you know, sometimes you could look at maybe Leicester's squad and you could be forgiven for going, ah, yeah, I understand why he's not doing this, because if he does this, it means so-and-so and so-and-so would not fit into the strategy. But if you played a narrow 4, I'm just going to call it a narrow 4-4-2 for anyone that doesn't get all technical and up-to-date with the new slang term for tactics of this 4-2-2. But you played a narrow 4-4-2. You accommodate Ndidi, you accommodate Samore playing, you accommodate Barnes, you accommodate Maddison playing, you accommodate Iheanacho or Daka playing, and you accommodate Vardy playing. You get your strongest attack-wise, you've got the strongest options available to play that system. You could, like I said, we've seen that over the years that Barnes is clearly interchangeable to cut inside and then stick out to the left. But if you gave him that option of freedom and didn't make it so programmed, that when we come forward and spring these counter-attacks, we'd already have the Madisons and the Barnes in the positions where they need to be and not trying to pick up the ball 10 yards inside our half to get to them attacking positions. I honestly think a narrow 4-4-2 essentially gets Leicester playing the football that they tried to play last night and have tried to play over the last couple of weeks and get the best results out of it.
Yeah. Chris, Merridew, good evening, sir. How the devil are you? Welcome along. I haven't seen you in here before. You are more than welcome. I think Eddie has brought a team spirit to the side. I mean, we know Eddie. I mean, I know Eddie from what he did at Bournemouth, which was totally amazing. And I think he will keep Newcastle up, to be honest with you. And he knows Leicester. You know, he's got a few wins over us. And they do have goals in their side. David, exactly what I was saying. Up front, Vardy and Daka together. He's just said, Scott, basically a 4-4-2. I mean, Newcastle United have won 3 of their last 4 away league matches against us. Oh, squeeze those bottom cheeks in. That said, since their return to the Premier League in 2014, Leicester have won more matches against Newcastle than they have versus any other side in the competition with 8. So it's either going to be the most drab attrition-based match you can see, or it'll be 5-5 or something, won't it? You know,
I was just going to say, as long as it's not reminiscent of that 4-3 Newcastle defeat where Shearer came on and banged in a hat-trick against us, I'll be happy with like a 5-4.
That wasn't the time when he trod on Neil Lennon.
It was at St. James's Park. But it might have been the same season, or that might have been the same season afterwards. I know what incident you're on about, but no, that was at St. James's Park. It was live on Sky.
Right. I watched Brookline says some 2016 games yesterday. Vardy with Okazaki running around with him, a solid defensive shape, and a lot of talking between Huth for Fuchs and Morgan. David says about Barnes, either he's lazy or doesn't know how, but he is it that he can never use his speed to catch up to any players who carry the ball past him, as if defending is below his pay grade. And Casper was trying to play out from the back. Well, we know that. I don't really think that's Casper. I do think that is Brendan. So if we go, and we're pretty much agreed on this 4-4-2. Yeah, basically what I said to the Newcastle fans, just do that in your team talk, Eddie. Get a corner and it's a goal. But we've gone for this 4-4-2, Brad. So I'm going to ask you, within that 4-4-2, a couple of positions when, and I'm looking at the players that were available the other night, I'm presuming that the others might not be available. Bertrand or Thomas?
Honestly?
Yeah.
Bertrand right. For me.
Wow.
I think he's just got a bit more of an aggression, and his experience actually more shines through on his ability to get into the attacking areas for Leicester. That's what you're needing for a win. But I feel that Thomas is very much my job's that job, if that makes sense. Mm. It's up and down for Thomas, and I think to expose Newcastle, we need the left-back pushing in. So, yeah, I'd go with Bertrand.
Again, I mean, this is the starting. Whether they play the full 90 or not is another matter. Tielemans, Sumare, or Hamza?
Tielemans. Face it, apart from his injury and his sluggish return last night, Tielemans is hands down the better out of all them two.
Yeah, overall he is, but I'm just thinking, is he coming back? Would it be better starting one of the others and then bringing him on, with half an hour to go? Not the normal Brendan, bring him on at 89 minutes when it's too late to do fuck all.
Well, yeah, I mean, I could see that, but I just think the impetus is there that you want to get a player like Tielemans flowing and back to his best as quick as possible. And the only way you're going to do that is to play him. It's just clear with Tielemans, as we've seen. So, yeah, Tielemans for me.
Another option, and I had forgotten this one, Scott. Thank you very much. KDH.
Yeah.
I
did like it. Maybe if you're going to go for that diamond one and you could take out Barnes and put KDH there if you're going to predominantly get him to play in there. I just don't know where he fits in if you're trying to get him, Tielemans and Maddison and Ndidi in that midfield. If you're putting Maddison up as the right diamond in the attacking front, then maybe you do, but then you're also saying to Ndidi that he drops to the bench. So it's a bit difficult to get him in. I'd like to see more of him, but I'm impressed with what I saw of him. It was a great goal he scored, but it'd be difficult to get him
in. Vestergaard, Soyuncu.
Can I say Amarty?
You can, because again, another one I'd forgotten. He wasn't Daniel on the bench, though, was he? I'm wondering if he's got COVID or not.
Well, I know there was an illness going around as well, wasn't it? They did say it was COVID and an illness. Now, if Amarty is just an illness and he's okay and he's fit to play, I would actually genuinely pick Amarty over them to go alongside Evans. Out of the options you just gave me, Vestergaard's got to be worth another shout, and we can't do any worse than what Soyuncu's been doing at the moment with the tracking back errors. People might laugh and say don't go anywhere near Vestergaard, but honestly, with the way our defence is at the moment, people are saying it don't matter. Then where's the harm in giving Vestergaard another chance? If he's settled in a bit more and got his head right, he could prove a lot of people wrong. Screw it, out of them two I'd go Vestergaard, but out of the three of them it's Almarty.
Yeah, no, it's a good point, that. Luckman or Brighton?
Luckman. I just feel like, yes, he blows hot and cold at times. But again, we moan that Vardy doesn't get the service, so we can't blame Vardy. Well, sometimes Lookman's found picking up the ball at the edge of our box. That's him getting his own service when he really should be higher up the pitch. That's what we signed him for. And that's why we've got these players playing left and right in the attacking sense. So I think sometimes people need to notice where Lookman is on the pitch. I love Kevin. I love him. But for me, he's the impact sub. Now, he's the guy that should be getting on at about 70, 75 minutes, not 89 minutes. But for starting-wise, I'd like to see Adamola Lookman, because he also picks up very good positions for them balls. Well, notably his goal that he scored. He was right there for you messed this up, it's going in the net, and they messed it up. He got through to Lookman and he put it in. So for that reason, I would pick Lookman.
And finally, Ward or Schmeichel?
I think this might be a chance for Ward.
I said exactly the same. I would have, when I picked my team on the Newcastle show, I said, let's stick Ward in.
Yeah. However, now I'm gonna play, I don't know if devil's advocate is the right term, but I would make the switch back to Casper on one suggestion.
Don't say corners.
No. I'm an advocate for goalkeepers being for being captain, being one myself, not a captain, but being a goalkeeper. But me personally, I would take that strain off Schmeichel and let Evans control that back line, because something is clearly the communication between Evans, an experienced man who's played at the highest of levels. He's played for Manchester United. He's been around captains. I'm not too sure. Maybe someone will tell me, but he's also probably captained himself. Most certainly at West Brom, he was a captain. I would now tell Casper, even if it's a case of, you know, the face and the mask situation, you're the mask captain, because I don't want to take it off. I don't want to disrupt too much and cause an argument between people. But defensively, leave it to Evans, sort of thing. I don't know how Brendan would go about it. But me personally, I think there's such a miscommunication between, well, you're telling me to do that, but he's the captain and he's telling me to do this. Who am I listening? You know, too many cooks boil the broth.
Yeah,
give the captaincy to Evans, would be me, and I would stick with Schmeichel in goal. But if you're not, you can't have your captain. Maybe that's why Ward gets in. You can't have your captain on the bench. You need your captain on the pitch. So maybe Ward gets in. I was glad we kept captain for Napoli, but definitely I would see Ward.
Well, this, you know what's coming, don't you? Because this is Brendan announcing his team for Sunday's game.
My answer is I don't have the first damn clue.
Unfortunately, that's how it's getting, Brendan. You are becoming a bit of a joke. We're going to be looking at a player that you've picked out that's going to cause us a bit of trouble straight after this.
Leicester Till I Die TV, your first choice for everything Leicester City. Tune in and join in now.
I've got to be honest with you, when you said this, I was totally in tune with you. Alan Saint-Maxim, one to watch.
Yeah, he's a frighteningly good player. You know, in a piles of substandard low-end premiership quality / championship quality players. And there's Newcastle fans that know I'm not insulting them by saying that. They would gladly rip through their team and go championship, barely premier. You know, I'm not trying to be nasty or anything. I'm not trying to do it just to get a response from Newcastle fans. But he's one of them that Saint-Maximin really does cause teams issues. I mean, if you were to probably go back over opposition shows, you know, around YouTube and when they're playing Newcastle, go, is there a player that stands out for you that's going to cause us a threat? It's going to be probably more times than not either Callum Wilson or Saint-Maximin. And with our defensive frailties and our marking system at the moment, I really do worry that Saint-Maximin's going to get in behind our defence and probably win them three corners at least. in quick succession. He's quite good at winning goals. I mean, corners for them. So that's my worry, mate.
Yeah. To guy was picking out as well to be a threat to us. I didn't, and Brookline's just said there. I think Iheanacho is definitely out, I think, with COVID, Brookline, so I don't think he can play. And Marty, we're not sure about. I'm just seeing if it says here. But he did mention the P word. Tumbleweed. Going across there. Did you hear it? Tumbleweed. I think on that thing, we should move on. I mean, if we are comparing, and this is the season so far, and like I said, I do know you're not a stat man, but this is what the Premier League is saying our seasons look like so far. They've only won the one. Obviously, that was against Burnley. They've drawn seven, but they've only lost one more than us. The average goal scored, one just over one, we're 1.5. Conceded isn't a lot worse than us. They've conceded 30 and they're in the bottom two. We've conceded 27, guys. And we both only kept one clean sheet. Chances, yeah, I've created more chances. We're not going to keep a clean sheet tomorrow, are we? Should we have a raffle to see how many minutes until we concede the first goal?
Oh, you could, mate, but you wouldn't be giving out lots of prizes for in the first 10 minutes, would you? Because Leicester are very good at conceding the first. I mean,
that's what I mean when we concede the first goal. That's what I mean.
Yeah, you'd be giving out odd socks for the first minute award, wouldn't you? Because they'd be very low down. There'd be a lot of people betting on it or getting the raffle.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And yes. The only good thing about them stats, mate, and it is the only good thing about them stats, is at least we know Newcastle aren't keeping a clean sheet based on that.
Yes. But this is Leicester. So you look at that and you think, like, how are we going to? Brookline's coming in with some Perez stats for you. So this might be a bit interesting.
Entertain me, Brookline. Entertain me.
This, to be honest with you. You mentioned him there, Alan Saint-Maximin. He's got the most assists out of the two teams. Vardy's got the most goals, three more than Callum Wilson. This, we said the other day, this is the frightening one. Tackle's brilliant that we've got the top two there. Soyuncu, 945 passes. Ndidi and Tielemans, who are our two main midfielders, and I always think, tell me if I'm wrong, Brad, that I expect the midfielders to be topping the passing because they're the ones that are getting the ball and spraying it out or passing it back, whatever. That just shows how much we are weeing about at the back of the games when we should be going forward, doesn't it?
Yeah, it probably also shows you how many times that Casper, definitely shows you how many times Casper's been passing to Soyuncu.
Yeah.
And how many times that Soyuncu's probably made a pass and then got it back from somebody, or he's made a pass and it's gone straight to an opposition player and then he's had to tackle to get it back. So it's not great reading. You normally look into that and think, like you said, the players underneath him you're expecting to see with the higher pass rates. I would like to wonder how many of them were to a Leicester player that he passes to. Because I suppose you can successfully pass it to the opposition, can't you? I wonder if any of them were successfully.
I think counted. That would be, yeah, I think that would be passes to his own team. I would hope so, anyway.
You'd like to think that the figures weren't doubled if you included both of them.
Andrew says there, that's 945 new attacks, according to Brendan. Yeah. like it. Oh, dear. It is, like we said before, I think this month is the defining month of our season, this season. I mean, yeah. We've already had the European game, which we now know where we are with that. We're in February. And So we don't get February off from Europe, and we're going down and playing another team that we've never heard of. But, you know, these are the games that we have got coming up after Newcastle. We've got Tottenham, if it's not cancelled, at home. And we do know, however bad we are or however good we are, we can't seem to beat Tottenham. We've got Everton away. We've got Liverpool in the quarterfinals of the Carabao Cup. Man City away on Boxing Day. Liverpool at home on the 28th. And I doubt we'll even beat, because I think we struggled. I remember when we played Norwich in January a couple of seasons ago that they beat us. That is scary when you look at that in our form, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Although the only reprieve that you maybe have in there, it all depends what happens with injuries and players that go away, is in the greatest respect, I can imagine that the focus, like I said, will now firmly focus on our league position. Now that, I mean, because either way, the European competition was done for the first foreseeable, no matter where Leicester finished, whether it was first, second or third. So I don't see a strong squad going out into that Carabao Cup game against Liverpool. In fact, I think it'd be almost shambolic and football suicide to put out a strong side on the 22nd of December when you've got the 26th and 28th, respectively. You've got them games coming up. I do think that's a bit of madness. So that's the only little break and reprieve you get. Maybe you can afford to play two teams, similar 11s back-to-back, and then have that rested period before them games. But it's not looking good on paper. But if we were to play this season by paper, we'd be third with our expectations of results. Yep. So
Indeed.
And again, football being a funny old game and Leicester being out of the eye, I could probably see us getting 9 points somehow from that list up until January.
Exactly. Now, guys, on the 23rd of December, and Brad may be away then, we are going to be doing a rate the player season, rate the player so far this season show. I'm sure if Brad can't make it, that he'll email me his votes, because I'm sure he'll be giving a 10 to this guy Perez. Now, this is what Brookline says about him, Brad, or rather what Google Sports says. Perez started the number 10 time. Google says Perez started in the number 10 three times last year: 5-0 over Sheffield United, 3-1 win over Manchester United in the FA Cup, and 1-0 over Chelsea in the FA Cup final. Now, I would say, Brookline, that's three games. What was he doing for the other 13, 42, whatever games we played during the season? What was he doing for that?
Laugh all, sweet FA, wasting our lives. I mean, I don't know, mate. I don't know.
One of the questions when I was on the Newcastle show earlier, and was about Perez, and he said, "Oh, Perez hasn't had the best start, has he?" And I did actually say to him, "We've still got the receipt. Can we say he was damaged when we got him and have our money back?" And they wouldn't give us the money back, I'm afraid. So that kind of sums it up, really. Although he was in good form, they did say when he actually left, he was in good form. Brookline says that he sold a jinx on him there, didn't we? Yeah, I went back over the last 32 games, including the last two games where Perez started: 9 wins, 3 losses, 3 draws. All I will say, and you make a good point there, Brookline. I mean, we disagree with each other on it's football for you, but it can't be any worse, can it, Brad? You know, stick him on. What have we got to lose?
A dignity. Self-respect, playing with 10 men. Sorry, I'm sorry. For me, we're talking, and I totally understand where he's coming from with the facts that he's pointing out, but this is again why I'm such an advocate of not bothering with stats when it comes to it. I think you have to look at the principle of the thing. Perez isn't the reason we won them games, let's face it. Sheffield United had, in fact, Sheffield United that season, their first win didn't come till January against Newcastle. We were always going to trounce them 5-0. Well, maybe not 5-0, but we was always going to beat them.
Yeah, yeah.
You're talking then again, looking at the other ones. Okay, Chelsea in the FA Cup. Let's face it, they didn't judge that handball or knee deflection to be an handball. And it wasn't in the build-up of play, so it wasn't even checked by VAR officially in the goal. So you're kind of thanking your lucky stars it wasn't looked at, even though, to be fair, even if it was looked at, they'd have been very harsh to not give it. I understand that you can always look at stats and go, well, they played that. But if I did that with every single Leicester player that underperformed, then I'm telling you this now, Mark De Vries would be a god amongst men at Leicester.
Don't you just sent a shiver down my spine mentioning that.
Well, but he scored the winner against Tottenham in that FA Cup, mate. So that makes him a hero.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's all perspective and how you analyse things and what you choose to use as your analytic basis.
It is. Right, we're gonna move on because we're gonna say we've both got a couple of shows to move on to after this. We're busy little bees, aren't we, Brad? Busy little bees.
Yes, mate. I've got this stream, another stream, then another stream after that, and then I've still got to find myself the energy to watch the Ashes tonight. So that's gonna be fun.
Well, apparently we could be back in them. Apparently,
Although our first innings is, well, our batting in the first innings was as good as Leicester's defending. Not very.
Yeah. Don't get me onto cricket. I don't. I like 2020 because it's short, sweet, and fast. Tests, they bore me, but that's just me. Score predictions. Now this is how they've gone. Everything I've said, I can just never go against my team. So I've gone for a 3-1 Leicester win, in the hope that this is the game when we kickstart our season. Please, God, if I had a pound for every time I said that, I could retire. Ian Marshall, Big Marsh has gone 2-1, as in fact has Steve Walsh and Jerry Taggart, who said it is, and even he said when he messaged me that it is a must-win game for us. Steve Linex, he thinks Newcastle are going to do it. I think he could well be right. Ian Wilson has gone 3-0, which I think he's probably pushing it a little bit, thinking that we're going to keep a clean sheet again. But good on you, Ian. Brad, what are you going to go for?
Just put me up on the big screen, mate. Give me my little big screen moment, because I'm going to let people read my funny way of predicting it. See that? If you can't read it because of my Jesus lights.
The richest championship club. -2. Can't defend a corner. -2.
That's honestly, mate, it is. It's the battle of the richest championship club versus can't defend a corner FC. And it's I'm going for a 2-2 draw, mate, because it's our scoreline at the moment. We can't stop conceding at least 2 goals a game.
No, that is true.
I've gone for that. And I thought I'd just put that a little bit because of a few discussions I've been having recently where a lot of people have, more for banter than anything, they've been saying it'd be really funny after everything that Newcastle fans have gone through, just be typical of their luck to end up in the championship and be the richest club in the world in the championship.
It would, but not necessarily the worst thing that would happen to them. Look what happened to us when we went down into the third tier. It was the start. Yeah. It was the start for us.
Very true.
Yeah, very true. I've actually got 3-1, as you saw there, for Leicester, and their one goal will be scored during the warm-up, because we're conceding that quickly that they'll be able to get one past us before we even started the game.
Sorry, mate, I've just had breaking news. Yet St Maximin's just put Newcastle 1-0 up.
Andrew's gone 3-1 to Newcastle. Brookline says he's not related to Perez, but he does speak Spanish.
Brookline, we know your relations now.
A bit of man love going on there, I think, don't you? Anything less than a good 2-goal margin on the victory for Leicester will be a disappointment for me. 3-1 at least. Get ready to be disappointed, David, I think. I mean, I've gone 3-1, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was a 1-1. We're going to concede. Brad, thank you so much, as always. Good luck in the quiz tonight.
Yeah, thank you. I'm taking on Doug, I believe, was in the chat earlier. So if I'm going to lose to anybody, I don't mind losing to Doug.
To be honest with you, I wouldn't like to be up against Doug. He knows his stuff.
Yeah, and I've always said, I think I actually said it when he was on a show with us on here before, he's got a voice that, to me, sounds like the sort of guy that Sky would cut to when he's got some very big breaking news. I can just imagine Doug one day announcing that Lionel Messi is the new Barcelona manager or something like that. I can just imagine his voice announcing it very professionally. So I'm looking forward to taking on Doug tonight. It's going to be a laugh. It's going to be a good quiz.
Andrew says St. Maximin just scored, but Kane is claiming it. And Scott goes 4-2 to Newcastle. I wouldn't be surprised. It could be anything. It's like sticking the tail on a donkey. And now I'm not saying that Leicester are playing like a bunch of asses, but that is what it's like trying to predict our score at the moment. Tomorrow, 5 o'clock, then, Brad. I will see you then, sir.
Yes, you will, mate. You will see me there. With my 7 reasons why Brendan is the man to keep the job. If I can think of 7 reasons, of course. I don't know if I'll be able to, but that's the way I'm rushing to go about it. As many ways as possible.
If you can look at maybe just getting one, that would be good.
Right.
Yes. I'll leave that. You've got 24 hours to think about it.
Yeah, mate. Definitely.
Brilliant, mate. Great. As I say, good luck with the quiz. Thanks for doing the next show with another Newcastle. I'm off to do another Newcastle show as well. We've never been as popular. Methinks that they think they might be going to win this.
Maybe
it's on. Take care, bud. And I'll see you tomorrow. All the best.
Take care. Cheers everybody.
Bye-bye. We will see you, tomorrow at 5, Brad, and we're hopefully going to be getting Anton from Ant's Leicester channel, Leicester fan channel, and then obviously 4:30 on the Sunday, we will be back, 4:30-ish on the Sunday, and hopefully we'll be talking about 3, as in 3 points, not as in 3 minutes when we've conceded the first goal. Who knows? Thanks for watching and thanks for listening. If you're listening to this on the podcast, your support on both is always much appreciated. Take care and I'll see you tomorrow night. Good night now.
Thank you for watching. Have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Hello, Matt Elliott here.
Hi, Alan Smith here.
Hey guys, Ian Hume here.
Hi everybody, Jerry Taggart here.
Be sure to watch
Chris and Leicester Till I Die TV
for all the latest Leicester City news and information.
You can also subscribe on YouTube and various social media channels
for the latest updates and news on Leicester City.
Come on, you foxes!